I'm Dave Wallner from Reaching Out Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Subject of the impossibility of trying to enter into the kingdom of God through following the teachings of Jesus. For the Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us in Matthew chapter 5 verse 44, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. When one studies that scripture, it is totally impossible. Regardless how you try, you will never succeed to live according to that scripture. We understand that if we fail once, then it's no use even trying, because the Bible teaches if we fail once, then we've broken the law, and there goes our chances of entering into the kingdom of God. So how does it work? How can anybody enter into the kingdom of God? There is one way. Jesus lived the perfect sinless life. He blessed his enemies. He blessed them that despitefully used him, and he became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The only way we can ever achieve eternal life is through Jesus living that life for us. That is the way to eternal life. We accept Jesus as our Savior. That's our only hope. And that's the only thing that the Lord will accept as for our redemption. And that's the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these scriptures are written for us to understand that through living a sinless life, we cannot attain eternal life. This is what the teachings of Jesus is trying to portray to us. We cannot attain eternal life through trying to live the life of Christ that Christ only could live. Jesus had to do it for us. But once we're Christians, once we become born again through the power of the Holy Spirit, then that's another story. Is it possible to live that lifestyle? I'm not talking about trying to gain eternal life. I'm talking about living that lifestyle for our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's possible. It has been proven. And I will teach on this subject. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you will open the scriptures to us so that we can understand. I thank you for your grace. You will anoint this message and bless the listeners. In Jesus' name, amen. When one studies the teachings of Jesus, we can understand that the impossibility of trying to enter into eternal life through following that lifestyle. And I believe this is what the Lord is trying to show us. It is impossible for you to do it. You cannot do it in your own strength. And yet you meet up with people who declare and claim that they can do it. I remember I was once arguing with a religious cult leader that he lived a sinless life. And he quoted, asked me a question and said, "Have you sinned today?" And I said, "I'm sure I did." And he then told me that I was of the devil. He quoted a scripture found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. It tells us, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning." But by the grace of God, that same testament, that same epistle, has a scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. "But if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So this guy couldn't understand the true meaning of Christianity and what it means to be sinless in the eyes of God. And he was trying to do it in the flesh. So he quoted me one scripture, and by the grace of God, I knew my scripture, so I was able to tell him, "If you say you do not sin, you are a liar and you make God a liar." So how is it possible to live a sinless life? How is it possible to live according to the teachings of Jesus? I grew up in a religious system that tried to practice the teachings of Jesus by taking care of your neighbor, having all things in common. I lived amongst those people, and I saw that through rules, laws, and regulations, you can make it work somewhat, that you do take care of your neighbor. But if your heart is not there, it means nothing. The Lord will not accept that. And so that goes out the window. How then one How can a person really live the lifestyle of Jesus the way he prescribes it in Matthew chapter 5? It tells us in Acts chapter 2, something happened to the disciples. It tells us that they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So what happened to the disciples? The Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, when he was with his disciples, yes, the disciples were now born again. The sin problem had been taken care of, and they were gathered around Jesus, and Jesus was teaching them. The Lord told them something in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And it tells us in verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ promised his disciples. Something will happen to you. You will receive power. And when the Holy Ghost came upon them on the day of Pentecost, they received a supernatural touch from God, and their lives were changed from then on. I want to explain something to the believer here. You may have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you know that you're going to heaven because you believe in the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Have you experienced a blast from the Holy Spirit? I'm not talking about the scripture that teaches us that we're all baptized into one body by one Spirit, and that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. I'm talking about the experience the disciples had at the day of Pentecost. There is a scripture found in Acts chapter 19. When Paul came upon some disciples and he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I'll read you the scriptures. He said in verse 2 of Acts chapter 19, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. So by these scriptures, we can understand that even if you believe in Jesus, it is possible that you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples believed in Jesus. They were born again after the resurrection. But at the day of Pentecost, they received power from on high. And the Lord God told them and warned them, don't even try to go and preach this gospel unless you are filled with this Holy Spirit, because you are not going to survive. I want to show you here how the disciples' lives changed once they received a blessed from the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it tells us, and they that gladly received these words were baptized the same day, and were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house. They'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all men. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. These were the apostles that were filled with the Holy Spirit. They did mighty signs and wonders. They lived together. They had all things in common. And when we study the life of the apostles, we can clearly see that they were very willing to turn the other cheek, to live a sinless life, not to count their possessions dear to them. They passed them out to those that were in need. Yes, the disciples lived according to the teachings of Jesus. They could do it. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember when the disciples were walking along with Jesus. What was their main concern? Their main concern was who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. They were arguing amongst themselves who would take that position. But after the day of Pentecost, after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, that concern left them, and they started serving one another, just like the Lord Jesus predicted, that in the kingdom of God, the one who is the greatest is the one that serves the other. Yes, that's the life of Christ. That's the way it works, and we know for a fact it cannot be done unless you're born again by the Spirit of God. Even after you're born again by the Spirit of God, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to live that lifestyle. Yes, Jesus is pointing it out to us very clearly that through His power, we can do the miraculous. And that is living the lifestyle that Jesus demands. So the point I'm making here, if a person has to be filled with the Holy Spirit, even after he is born again, to live that lifestyle, how on earth can an unregenerated person do it who is not born again? How can he do it? It is impossible. He needs to get born again first, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he will be qualified to live according to the teachings of Jesus. So, dear people, having all things in common through some rule, law, and regulation or church organization that you have grown up in, it's not going to count for nothing. You have to be born again by the Spirit of God to enter into the kingdom of God, even before you live that lifestyle. So turn to Jesus, receive Him as your Savior, and you will then be qualified to live that life that Jesus demands in Matthew chapter 5. But not only that, you will also enter into the kingdom of God, where we will spend the rest of our eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing. Amen.
Tyrant's throne, they were told that he would spare. the name of Christ, but one by one they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny, like a great angelic choir sings. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come and the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace
one studies the lives of the apostles after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, we can understand that they, through the power of the Holy Spirit, were able to share their goods with one another. They had all things in common. It's not that the Bible teaches that this should be the lifestyle of the Christian. It is just something that happens to the Christian after he becomes filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants to start helping one another and to be kind and generous to one another. We can see that before the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were kind of selfish. They were arguing about this and they were arguing about that all the time. So they definitely had to have the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit to live that kind of lifestyle. And I once again want to emphasize, the Bible does not demand that people should have all things in common, especially before you're born again. So be careful on how you interpret these scriptures. The Lord has made us free agents, and we need to serve one another in love and as we are led by the Holy Spirit. Today, when we listen to testimonies of people in different countries, in China, people live and have all things in common amongst the believers. They help one another. They look out for one another. And the power of the Holy Spirit moves amongst them. They see signs and wonders and miracles. And that happens in quite a few countries where the power of God is manifested, where the people are given to serving God with all their hearts and all their souls and all their minds. They do not mind giving their lives for Christ, never mind turning the other cheek. They give their very lives for Christ and for one another. This is how it works when the Holy Spirit is moving with power amongst the believers. A far cry from the Western world, where the mainline churches have rejected the power of the Holy Spirit. They have rejected signs and wonders and miracles, and they teach us that these things went out with the apostles. What do you see in most cases when problems arise? Instead of being reconciled to one another, we see church splits. We see denominations being started. We see brothers taking brothers to court. Lawsuits over money. Church fighting church. Yes, this is what happens. It's no use trying to pretend that this is not the case. It is. We can see it all over. So what should we do? We need to seek that baptism that the disciples were baptized with. It is supernatural. It is a power by itself. It's not the born-again experience. It's an experience totally by itself. Sometimes it could coincide when somebody gets born again. He right away receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when people get baptized, they get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an experience that is unique, and we cannot put a formula to it. The Bible teaches us that we should not be filled with wine, wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That scripture teaches us that as like you feel wine when you drink too much, other people see it, other people know that you drink too much wine. The same way it is when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Other people see it and you yourself know it. So this is what I recommend for this new year. Make it a priority as a believer, because I want to ask this question. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit since you've believed? Make this your New Year's resolution, that you will seek after that experience and you will not give up till the Lord God will shower you with his blessings from on high. It is a real experience. I've experienced it myself, not only once, but quite a few times. And let me tell you one thing. Once you've experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all the programs, all the formulas fall by the wayside, because you want and thirst for the real thing. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing to many. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbach, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbach, Manitoba, R5G1M2. If you would like to order music heard on this program, please call James and Kathy Wallman at 204-423-2070. That's 204-423-2070.